please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, happy birthday to Amelia-worthy podcast. Today is Monday, July 13th, 2020. Should we sing?
We definitely don't want to subject our listeners to our poor ability to carry a tune. I think it's a shame that the American happy birthday song is so difficult for most people to do well, especially when they're singing with others.
Yes. Well, this morning I was practicing singing happy birthday to Brennan because I want her to kind of be excited for that song. It's not that hard. You just have to sing it with a smile as opposed to making it sound like a funeral dirge.
I mean, I think it's fine. Like, one person doesn't sound so bad. It's just when you have like 20 people who don't know how to sing, not quite on the same note at the same time. It just, the noise of that is really painful sometimes.
Nonetheless, happy birthday to our favorite producer, editor, extraordinaire. Amelia has been a gift to the Optimist Daily and probably should have had her be one of the hosts today. I don't know if that would be a birthday gift or a birthday punishment. But nonetheless, everybody join us in saying happy birthday to Amelia. And Amelia, thank you for all that you do for the Optimist Daily. We are incredibly grateful to have you on our team. Thanks for being born. Christy, how was your weekend?
It was good. I got to unwind a little bit. I talked with my husband about some of my feelings of feeling like I was pulling more than half the load around here. And the conversation went better than I had hoped. And it was a little rough in the beginning, but we got through it. But I did get to spend some time reading my really lowbrow detective novel, and I finished that up.
How is Harry? Did Harry prevail?
Yes, she prevailed, as well as the rest of her team. She got a little love interest in there. It was very, very, you know, she saved the world, which was very fun. And then, like you were talking about the warrior nuns.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we watched The Old Guard, was another badass kind of superhero immortal storyline on Netflix now. And that was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. That was a movie, though.
So. Good. I will give a warrior nun update without the spoilers. Warrior Nun is set in Spain. I'm on episode 7. This is a commitment. But one of the episodes, they were eating Spanish tortilla, which is basically like a frittata with onions, potato, and egg. And as you know, I've been trying to up my baby buffet breakfast game. And so this morning, inspired by Warrior Nun, I made my Spanish tortilla for Brennan, and it was a hit. So nice. My cooking is inspired by Warrior Nun.
Okay, that's good.
Won't give any spoilers. But there are demons, and they get battled.
Okay, good. The other thing that was really great for me personally this weekend was I did do some physically distant socializing outdoors, and it was just so, so good. We had a happy hour in a creek bed with a bunch of friends, and it was just so good to have some of that face-to-face human contact again. I've been doing a lot on Zoom and FaceTime, and I unleashed with a group of friends that I talk to every Saturday morning. So it was really good to have a little bit of contact with these people outside. We didn't break our physically distant socializing, but it was just nice to be sitting around with friends. I know you've been doing that on your lawns.
Lawn parties.
You know, and it was great. It was just a beautiful afternoon. I felt good from that too. So that's why I had such a good weekend.
Good. I'm glad. My weekend was ups and downs. I think like you and your husband, my husband and I are having that battle of who's doing more. And I think pretty much every couple on earth is probably having that battle because I think we all feel like the share that we're carrying is the heavier share. And it's pretty stressful being in relationship right now, I think, for the world. I think that we had similar conversations. We're still in conversation about it. But what was valuable for me was just kind of the empathy and perspective that he actually thinks he's carrying a really big load too. So I thought, okay, you know, it's not just a willful decision to be less helpful. It's just mm-hmm. where is helpful. And we spent some time with the pup. We went to my parents' house, and Brennan and my mom and dad got to have a wonderful time together. And good old dad there, who's just Mr. Optimist Daily Update avid listener, said he couldn't find the podcast because we had changed the place that you find it in the emails. And so I helped him find it, and he's in it with us. So kind of a nice thing, right? When your dad listens to your podcast. Yeah. So it was an ups and downs weekend for us, but I feel like Monday morning is here, and it is July 13th, Christy. We have been in this for 4 months.
Yeah. I was actually talking with a friend when we were happy houring in the creek about the show Alone, which is another show that I've been enjoying. And it's about people who go out to the Arctic and they have to spend 100 days on their own, just living off the land in the Arctic. There's something very compelling right now about watching these people struggle, dealing with a real natural world and trying to survive, and also deal with the emotional turmoil of really being by yourself. And we're not in that. I feel very, very grateful for the wonderful friends and for my immediate family who I get to see and hug and live with, and for my extended family and other friends who are out there in the world who I haven't been doing a lot of that physical socializing with, but who I miss deeply, and they miss me. And, you know, that was part of what was so wonderful about seeing them, is that we got to express that in a way that made me feel loved and that helped me express my love. But, you know, we're in a weird world. 120 days in. This is crazy.
I know. But you know what? I want to take just like a moment to say congratulations to everybody who has not had their head up their tail and has actually maintained social distance, has maintained some version of quarantine, has worn a mask. Congratulations to everybody who has pretty much decided that they are part of a bigger world and not a selfish jerk. Yeah. I am really proud of all of you fellow quarantinos and everyone who has respected that this is a wacky time and we have a responsibility as a society to protect one another. And to everyone who has decided that masks restrict their civil rights or blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I don't want to congratulate you.
One thing I was laughing about that, about people, you know, complaining about wearing a face covering and saying, this is unfair, it violates my personal civil rights. I'm like, okay, well, then let's stop wearing shirts. All of us ladies, let's go around topless and see what happens. And
these are my civil rights.
See who doesn't get a ticket, right?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Well, you know, I've also thought about all of these people who are like, masks don't do anything. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for your next dental hygienist to not have a mask on.
Right. It's so sad that we haven't been able to come together as a national society and stop this thing, because other nations have shown that it's possible. It is possible. Yeah. It's just that we really did miss an opportunity that we had earlier in the spring to really shut it down. And now we're going to have to deal with it. And it's very sad, and I'm afraid. But that's not very optimistic. So let's move on. Well, so let's look at what are our solutions.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not optimistic. But remember, Optimist Daily is not about rose-colored glasses. It is about the reality. And the reality is that we are where we are. And there are solutions and things that can be done to chart a better path. And one of the articles on the Optimist Daily today is about what we can learn from the Spanish flu pandemic about reopening schools. We're not going to go into that, but I know you and I have talked about that at length, and we are making decisions as a family of what it means if our daughter returns to school. There are solutions. And so even though this is a really creepy, weird time, there are actually real solutions like masks, like social distancing, and that is what the Optimist Daily is here to share. We do have other good stuff today, though. So
yeah,
What
I want to talk about, I'll get into in a second, but along the lines of what you're saying about recognizing the issues and talking about the solutions and charting better paths forward, we do have a real opportunity to turn the direction, even though we haven't taken it yet. And in the short term, it's gotten worse. It might end up resulting in longer term positive outcomes.
Yeah.
And the story I want to focus on is about the America's digital divide, why internet access should be a basic human right. And this is in the social justice category in the Optimist Daily. I think it's interesting to think about internet access is a basic human right. I don't know if I'm totally there, but it absolutely should be something that we provide every single person living in the United States as something like a utility, like access to water, like access to electricity now. And what is happening with the shutdowns and the closures of schools and the closures of businesses is that we're really seeing the starkness of the digital divide. It's huge in America because we do not have this as a basic infrastructure. We haven't been investing as a nation in our physical infrastructure, much less the digital infrastructure. And in fact, over 40 million Americans live without access to reliable internet. And in some markets, it's because it's outrageously expensive on an individual level. You know, there's one provider in your town, so you pay for what they are offering.
There's a monopolistic structure.
Yeah, yeah. And in some places, there's not even that because it doesn't make sense for the companies that control our communications systems to invest the money in putting high-speed internet out into the rural communities of America. So whether you're in rural Kentucky or in urban Detroit, Michigan, which is one of the worst places in the country, I just think this is really interesting to think about. It's forcing us to take a stark look at what does it mean to be a well-functioning society. And really, the way that you measure that is not by all of the possible things for the wealthy people, the people who have the ability to pay for that service. But as a society, what does that access look like for the people who don't have easy ability to pay for these things? Because we should be providing this for everybody. And so this story is interesting. It looks at Detroit in particular.
Well, and the interesting thing about Detroit is that it is what you were just saying, that monopolistic lack of affordable internet.
Yeah.
And I think defining affordability is a really interesting thing because what may be affordable, right? That Disney Plus, $6.99 a month, who needs it? Or for the Optimus Daily, $5 a month, not that expensive. The reality is those are actually really high prices for people who are on very limited incomes. And so then you think about, I have my cable bill sitting here right now, and you know, current charges due by 7/21 are $138. That is a huge amount of money. And if you think about traditional cost structures in families, I mean, just to be able to spend $140 a month to be able to have internet connectivity, and in our case, phone connectivity in our home, is obscenely expensive.
Yeah. Internet and electricity are really fundamental parts of our society. And if it's going to function well, we have to let everybody in our country have the ability to connect and charge their devices.
Exactly. That's precisely one of the things that this quarantine time that COVID-19 has taught us and really shone the light on. So when you were saying earlier that, you know, we can come back better, we can come back to a better society and a better community, I think it is these differences, these economic disparities have really been illuminated by this time. And we have to figure out new processes for making it better in the future.
They're not just rooted in COVID-19. These are things which have been growing and growing and growing over the last few decades. It's just the starkness of the divide is more evident, easier to see. So this solution is about the Detroit Public Schools and what they're doing. And I think it's a great positive solution story.
Yeah.
What the bigger implication is, you know, we really do need to connect the 40 million Americans who do not have access to broadband internet. And that's going to be a massive infrastructure investment, but it's worth it. And if you look at coming out of the Great Depression in the 1930s and 40s, that was the time when we really got rural America connected to the electric grid. It's another echo of the past that is building into a better future where there is an equitable distribution of resources and access to things like internet, which is also going to be how we do education going forward. It's going to be important for work. It's going to be important for so many aspects of a high-functioning society, our opportunity to invest in ourselves and in our future. And I think that we should do it.
Well, my story is aligned with your story as far as investment in a better future. This headline reads, Australia dedicates $190 million Australian dollars to improve recycling efficiency and environment. Now, like every mom in the world, every parent in the world knows how excited a baby gets when the trash truck comes. Monday happens to be trash day at my house, and we rush outside, and even Brennan at 11 months old, she says, truck, truck, as soon as she hears the trash truck. So we have to go take a look at it. But this morning, as I was standing outside, it was the recycling truck that came first. And so instead of saying the garbage man, I said, that's the recycling truck. And I wanted to give her that information from the very early on, not that she understands the difference. But then to come back and look at the Optimist Daily and to see the headline really talking about improving recycling systems was pretty illuminating. As many people are aware, in 2018, China decided to stop accepting recycling waste from many places, both Australia and the United States. And Australia made a decision that they were going to invest in an internal countrywide recycling program for sorting and conversion of things like tires, glass, plastic, paper waste. What I think is very good about this article is that it's sort of a lead story into what other communities and societies can do. I know that in the United States, there is sort of a skepticism around what happens to your recyclables. And of course, all of this will be greatly improved if instead we can get into a circular economy and reduce the amount of waste that exists in its entirety. But I was just excited to see Australia making this financial commitment and really just acknowledging that the systems are not perfect and that they need to be improved. And I was doing some Googling to figure out whether or not the United States or any given civic areas in the United States have made that commitment as well. And I want to continue to research it. And I'll ask our writers to look for solutions and what the U.S. is doing in the wake of China no longer accepting our recyclables. But I'm very excited to see that not only movement into a circular economy, but also a better and more efficient way to recycle those things that can be used again is in process. So
yeah,
well done, Australia.
Yeah. And part of, I think part of what we have to think about is actually pricing into our cheap products and our cheap containers, what the real cost of those are. Because if it means that you have to spend, you know, $200 million in Australian dollars, that's probably a drop in the bucket of what really needs to be invested to create a real circular economy where you have the ability to both collect and sort and clean and process and reuse some of these different materials that are very reusable, right, or recyclable. But if instead of just buying a water bottle, a plastic water bottle, and it's very inexpensive to do that, but what's not covered is the actual cost of what's going to happen to that plastic water bottle that is going to live in our world as it is for 400 years, right? You have to cover the cost of that or figure out a way to repurpose that, whether it's using it in a building materials, actually melting it down and reconstituting it into something new. Anyway, this is a huge issue that we've been following. Plastic is everywhere. It lives under the ocean for hundreds of years. It's a real issue we really have to consider and price our containers and our processes realistically in what the real true cost is. So this is a great article about one country, which is really trying to make a new kind of commitment. And I think it's a leading light. And we always like to look for leading lights in the Optimist Daily.
Yeah, I feel like we could continue down the road of if you increase prices of basic consumer goods, do you then tax least, you know,
you have to figure out a way to do it in a progressive way as opposed to aggressive.
In a progressive way that doesn't. Yeah, that doesn't tax people who are already income restricted.
Right.
So other exciting stories on the Optimist Daily today. There is my furry creature story, which is comeback wild bison set to return to UK for the first time in 6,000 years. Yay for animals. There's the Spanish influenza lessons to reopen school story, which is great. Now, Christy, I know this is an exciting one for you. The exterior of this electric truck is made of natural materials.
Yeah, that's fun to read. And then there's also a great story about boosting your microbiome this summer. That's a great one because your microbiome is really involved with immunity and boosting your immunity as well as lots of good stuff.
Yep.
Then there's an article about Thai fishermen are helping turn their discarded fishing nets into virus protection gear. Talk about a circular economy.
Yeah.
Talk about recycling and building back to better. That's a great story there. There's some ways that you can support the environmental justice movement, which is very closely linked, by the way, to racial social justice. Because environmental justice is often connected to other aspects of social justice. And then there are three organizations that are helping low-wage workers live a better life, which is another great story. And some tips on foods that may help lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. which, by the way, is one of the chronic diseases that affects millions and millions of people, my husband included. And it's really a disease which is mostly curable or at least livable with, especially if you make certain lifestyle changes. And it's just great to see that there are things you can do. And this story talks about some of those habits to improve.
The ways that you can improve your daily life as well. And, you know, there's a bunch more great stories on the Optimist Daily. We had some great publishing over the weekend that I think everyone can take a look at when you hop on the page. Just follow all of the categories that appeal to you. And for now, for today, for Monday, we have to get to our team meeting, which inevitably is always 10 minutes late on Mondays because we like to chat. But I will just wrap us up with thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise and we commit and we will continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure, even though it's weird, even though it's hard, that this world is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com if you have the means. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism, help us spread our Optimist Daily to more readers, and help us grow our vision of creating a better world by becoming a part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with that problem-solving mindset. Thank you, Summers, and happy birthday, Amelia, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free to those who need it and supported by those who can. Take care. See you tomorrow.